That's what we're going to talk about. Today is the first day of the last week leading to Christmas. First day of the last week leading to Christmas. So this is day one. I don't know what day we are in the 12 days of Christmas, but this is day one. There's 1 week left, and this is the first day. So I see it kind of appropriate for us to, okay, today, if I haven't already, let's begin to take this posture of celebration so we can enjoy it, because I want us to understand this, that there's a posture of celebration, there's an attitude of celebration, no matter the circumstance, because God has given us a reason to celebrate that is beyond our circumstance. It's beyond what you're dealing with in the moment. It's beyond with what you've dealt with in the past. In the midst of struggle, you have a reason to celebrate. In the midst of pain, we have a reason to celebrate. In the midst of grief, in the midst of hardship, you still have a reason to celebrate. And this, what I want to do today is I want to remind us of that. I want the Lord to remind us, you have a reason to celebrate. Celebrate. Enjoy this season of remembering how good I am. Enjoy this season of reflecting on my marvelous work. Because we've been given a gift. How many of you guys know the typical response when someone gets and receives a gift is like joy, right? It's joy. It's glee. Unless they're a bratty little child, you know, then you correct that. But otherwise, it's just like, that's the fastest way to throw a smile on someone's face, right? Give them a gift, especially if it's the gift they want or the gift they need. They're like, well, I need this. This is great. This is what I've been looking for. That is great. But that is what God has done for us. He's come and he's given us the gift that we need. Because whether you know it or not, from the moment that you can actually search for something beyond this life, you had a knowing in your heart saying there is more. There's more, and you're searching for the saving love of Christ, and God gave it to you. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Micah kicked us off, but we're going to read Isaiah 12. It's only 6 verses. We're going to read Isaiah 12, and then we're going to break it down. Won't take us too long, but follow along with me. Sorry, I keep moving too much. It says, in that day you will sing. I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done and let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things, and make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. I kind of see this chapter as a little bit of a sandwich. You can take the very first and the very end, and it basically summarizes the whole thing. In that day you will sing, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. God with us. He is with us. But before we break it down, let's give some context. This chapter 12 is following, of course, 9, 10, and 11. Not chapter 9, where we get the classic, for unto us a child is born, right? For unto us a child is born, foretelling of the hope that is going to come in the form of baby Jesus, right? In the form of this infant child, small, fragile, human. Chapter 10 goes into this, and it's like, there is no hope. Everyone's like, what is going on? It says, no, look, even in the midst where it seems like there is no hope, you have a sure hope. You have a sure hope that is coming. In chapter 11, we get this, a branch from the line of David will shoot up, and the lion will lay with the lamb, and there will be peace on earth and a banner of salvation. All of this pointing to the fact that the kingdom of God has come. Peace has come. Joy and hope are ours for the taking, because this is the gift he's given us. What you think cannot come will come in the least expectant way. And after those three chapters, you get this. And in that day, you will sing. In that day, you will sing. In that day, you will sing. You understand that will? In that day, you will sing. Not might sing. Not, you know, you may consider singing, maybe, on occasion. No. You will sing. Praise is the only response to God's love touching your life. Praise is the only response to God's love touching your life. It's like a reflex. I know some of you in this room, I would not dare try to sneak up behind you and scare you. Because your reflex, I think, may be a lot faster than my reflex to get out of the way of that fist that's coming around town. Right? Around, oh my gosh. I knew, as soon as the town left my mouth, I knew Riley was going to be right there. What do you, around town. Anyways, it's like a reflex. When God's love touches your life, there's this reaction that happens. And what it is praise. Now, there are times where, and I can attest to this, we want to resist that. No. I'm not going to, but don't resist it. Lean into it. In humility and thankfulness, receive his work. Receive his gift with praise. Praise his name. Amen? Because we have been given the reason to sing. You understand? It says you will sing because you have been given a reason to sing. The reason to sing. If there's any reason to sing, it is Christ coming as our Savior. Amen? It is Christ coming as our Savior. And then verse 1 continues like this. It's going into the first song saying, this is how you're going to sing. He's even going to describe the type of songs that we're going to sing. Here it is. It says, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. Because at one time, we all stood in opposition to God. Everyone. This is a blanket statement that we can confidently say. This applies to every human. At one time, we stand opposed to God, to his throne, to his kingdom, to his might. I want you to understand, though, the contrast between these two positions. The position of, I am standing against God Almighty, and now I am with God Almighty, his arm comforting me, protecting me, saving me. That's a drastic contrast, right? That's as black and white as it gets. Those are two very opposite things. Yes, God loving me, God wanting me all the time while I stood against him, he's directing his love to me. All the time while I stood against him wanting me in his presence and providing me salvation. But I chose to stand against him. We've all been kicked out of the garden. We've all decided that we want to define good and evil. We've all decided at one time that we know better. We've all missed the mark, fallen short. That's all of us. But not so anymore. But not so anymore. Now I stand reconciled. Now I stand redeemed. Now I stand in his comforting arms as opposed to against his hand. We who choose to stand against him have been made right with him. Do you see that? There is nothing to be happy about when you're standing against God. All right? But there is a song that he provides for us in his salvation. Say, now you can sing because I have given you a gift. I'm bringing you back over here. You've missed the mark. You've missed the mark. But now I am going to redeem that. I am going to bring you into my comforting arms. So no matter how far you're off, it doesn't have to do with what you've done or haven't done. It has to do with what I've done. And this is now your song that you are going to sing loud. So now we stand right with him. And that's where we get in verse 2 when it says, see, God has come to save me. God has come to save me. God doesn't just send help. Okay, here's one angel. Here you go. One angel should do it. No. He is the help. He is the help. Amen? He is the help and comes himself from his throne on our behalf. You see, God has come to save me. What an honor to be so cherished by the King that he would think of us worthy for that, to provide us this gift. When you're given a gift, there's a lot of emotions and feelings, right, that are rushing through you in that instant. We usually call it happiness, joy, whatever. One of the things that we think about is like, man, that was so thoughtful. I sometimes enjoy the gifts I don't expect. I don't, like, you know, I expect a gift from my wife, even from my kids now. I know that's part of our tradition. We're gift givers. Every now and then, there's someone that comes along where I wasn't expecting it, and then they give me a gift. It's like, you thought of me. This isn't part of your regular routine. You went out of your way and thought of me. That's a comforting feeling, isn't it? We know that feeling. We've had that. This is what God does for us. He has thought of you, and he has stepped out of his throne, come to earth as an infant child. Just think about that. We're not going to get into all of that. For us. Out of his love for us, to save us. Man, we have a song, don't we? We have a song. And then verse 2 continues like this. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. He is my all. None other compare. No other will suffice. He is my all. Everything. I will trust in him. I have no reason to be afraid. He is my all. He's my strength. He's the source of my song. He's the reason I have victory. It's him alone. In him I have no worries. In chapter 10 of Isaiah, verse 20, it says this. In that day, the remnant left in Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer depend on allies who seek to destroy them, but they will faithfully trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. See, there was a time, and you read it's all over the Old Testament, and we can all relate to this, where the Israelites counted God in their list of resources. They say, okay, I'm allied with this person up there. Awesome. We're pretty safe over there. We have this many troops on the border over here. We're pretty safe. We're doing good. Oh, and we worship this God who's better than the other ones. But yeah, see, we're pretty good. And God says, no. See, all those things that you think are meant to help you, actually, they can quickly turn on you. The only one that should be in that list of your resources, in the list that you say, this is my help, is God alone. Amen? Is God alone. So he says, but they will faithfully trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. God is always moving his people, you and I. He's always moving his people to a place of complete dependency on him. This is the direction he's pushing us. I want you to depend on me. I understand that you may think that you have a list of resources, these pillars that you've built that you can lean on. But the only one stable enough to actually support you is me, God Almighty. Does that make sense? That's a song right there. We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to celebrate. Now, this isn't out of some sort of ego kick. Although, you could argue if there's anyone to, you know, say, I'm the best. It is God, right? He doesn't do this out of some sort of ego kick. He does this because he loves you. He loves you, And out of his love, he directs you toward what is best. Out of his love, he directs you towards what is best. He's always gonna give you the best. He just happens to be it. He just happens to be it. He's moving you toward himself because he is the best. He is the best. Amen? Yeah. This can get difficult, though, because there are times when we disagree with God about what is best for us. You get a chuckle out of that, yeah. But we've all done it. We've all done it. And for all of us who have kids, we're like, us doing it to God is even more foolish than my 2 or 3-year-old disagreeing with me on any matter, right? In the nation of Israel, this happened again and again and again. Well, God, maybe we shouldn't go that way. Maybe we should really go that way. Well, did you really say that? Maybe this too, right? This can hurt. And we have that same conversation in our head. We begin to debate with God about what is best in our life. But you see, what God is giving you is he's giving you a reason to celebrate. He's giving you a song. In every other decision where you decide to go not with the best, which is God himself, you're like tossing that song to the side. And then we wonder, why is my life like this? It's like, well, you just rejected what's best. You just rejected your song. You just rejected your victory. This is the weight of what's actually being said. It's not like, oh, I just went to second best. It's like, no, you went from something, you went from everything to absolutely nothing, right? I'll trust in him and not be afraid. He is my strength. He is my song. He is my victory. And then we can say in our life, come what may, because I have God. I have the best, because I have all I need. So come what may, I have assured confidence and hope. I have strength, and I have a song that cannot be taken away from anything that life throws at me. It may not feel like it in the moment, but I know this, in every moment I am given what I need. You may not feel strong enough now, but he is, and he's going to be there for you every step of the way. In every moment I have been given victory. Let me say this. Life isn't pleasant. It's not pleasant. I don't think Jesus promises a pleasant life. Hey, come follow me and get the most pleasant life ever, right? He doesn't say, here's your pain-free life now, right? Although some of us were hoping for that, right? Some of us were really hoping for that. No, he doesn't say that. But what he does promise is Emmanuel. He does promise God with us. He does promise provision for everything you need in life. That's what he promises. And that's just the first song. That's the first song. And then he goes into this. So that was all the first song. And then we go into this, verse 3. It says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. So this isn't a song. This is a statement. You will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Without hesitancy, without delay, your eagerness for salvation will be fulfilled, will be satisfied. The life that you are searching for, the satisfaction you desire deep inside of you, will be satisfied from a well, from a fountain that never ends. That never ends. A gift stands before us all, ready to be taken as soon as you reach out to take hold of it. It's salvation. It's Jesus. It's hope, joy, peace, life abundant. And this isn't a one-time deal either. I mean, I assume all of us are going to get Christmas gifts, and a lot of those gifts by next year are going to be obsolete. Not that we won't use them, but eventually they're even going to lose their usefulness, right? They're going to use their usefulness. Gifts from 10 years ago, there's very few of those gifts that I still use today, right? Because they need to be constantly replaced with new gifts. How would you feel if I did this? If every single year I came up to you and I gave you the same exact gift. Now, from Stephen giving you a gift, you would be like, well, this great first year, it's great, awesome, yeah. Second year, you're like, maybe he forgot he gave this to me last year. Now I have two, cool, maybe I'll re-gift it, sure. Third year, you're like, dude, what is going on here? Do you think this is like the only item I use in my life? This is 3 years obsolete now. We're moving on here. By the fourth year, you're like, okay, this guy's just lazy. I don't know what's going on. I really don't want his gift anymore. That's not so with Jesus. Every single day, the gift is given. You have access to it. And every single day, it is full. Every single day, it is brand new. Every single day, it's all you need. You will be able to drink deeply. You can have as much of it as you want. It's not going to run out. Your eagerness for salvation will be fulfilled. Your eagerness for life abundant, fulfilled. Amen? So then we get into this next song where it says, in that day, you will sing again. In that wonderful day, you will sing. Now this is coming from our salvation experience, the daily experience we have in the Holy Spirit with the well of salvation, joy we sing. So verse 4 continues like this. We're getting into the second song. It says, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done, and let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things, and make known his praise around the world. It's simply saying this. Let our celebration not go unnoticed. Let our celebration not go unnoticed. Throw those lights on the house. Be glad with joy. Thank the Lord. Give gifts. Receive gifts. Be a part of it. Throw parties and celebrations. Be a part of it. And it's not just in song. Not just in song. I know it's talking about a song here, but it's not just in song. I wouldn't expect us to be walking through the grocery store now and add singing loudly to our shopping routine. Because I would get annoyed with that. But let our thanks, let our joy, let our praise be evidence to all in all we do. Let it be seen as evidence of, like, I have a song in me. I have a reason to celebrate. Let that be evident in the way we live our life, following Christ. His work is a good work, meant to be shared with all. I'm going to share with you a story from 2 Kings. This is a story from when Elisha is the prophet. There's some really good, really good stories in 2 Kings. It's great. The books of Kings are like second favorite to Judges, because Judges gets all the gory, cool stuff. this gets some cool stuff. But there's this point when the city of Samaria is under siege, and there's a famine in the city. They're under siege, they're completely surrounded, there's nothing they can do, there's a famine in the city, and people are beginning to die, and it's real desperate measures at this time. But then there's these lepers, and they come up with a plan. They say, you know what, let's surrender to the attacking army. Let's go over there tomorrow, surrender to the attacking army, because one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to kill us, which is what's probably going to happen tomorrow anyways, because we're going to die of starvation. Or they're going to take us captive, and even though we'll be prisoners, they might feed us. Okay, so they logic this out in their head. And then we're going to pick up in 2 Kings 7, 5-9. It says this, so at twilight they set out for the camp of the Arameans, but when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord has caused the Arameanian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else, and they fled for their lives. And when the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, They went into one tent after another, eating and drinking, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. But finally, they said to one another, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come, let us go back and tell the people at the palace. This is a day of good news, to be shared with all." God has come. He has come. And it's simple enough for us to look around, just like the lepers, and say, this is not just for me. This is for everyone. We should be finding a way to show it, to tell them about it, so that they can join in with us in the celebration and the glee and the feasting. Amen? This is good news for the world. So celebrate. Make known to the world in your lives the salvation found in Jesus, the depth and meaning of the coming of Christ, our reason to celebrate. Let that celebration burst forth. And we get to verse 6. It says, "Let all the people of Jerusalem shout with praise, shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. This is the source of our great joy. God with us. God in us. God for us." Amen? God in our midst, bringing himself into our lives for our good by his love. This is good news. I asked the worship team to jump up. Gosh, I gotta move so carefully. No, soon we got new mics coming. Soon. Yeah, soon. Soon. Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. I was hoping soon meant today, but soon probably means a couple weeks from now. But here's the last kind of exclamation, the point that I want to make as the worship team gets settled in. How do I take up the posture of celebration? I want to celebrate. I want to enjoy this Christmas. I want to enjoy the reason I have to celebrate. I want to take hold of it. Right? It's just like Christmas. There's an eagerness to get a hold of those presents. Right? There's an eagerness to get a hold of it. How do I take hold of it? Well, it's just that simple. You simply receive the gift that God has given you. You simply receive the gift that God has given you. He has given you salvation through Jesus Christ. And we bring that in. That's for those that haven't done that yet, and that's for all of us. This week, invite him in. Last week, and I do this often when we get ready to worship. But I prayed, Lord, I sat at the drums a couple moments before we started playing last week. And I said, Lord, allow us to worship you well. Allow us to worship you well. And I said, let song burst forth from our lungs. Let song burst forth from our fingers and our hands and our voices. And let our instruments burst forth with song. And in the midst of worship, his reply was simply this: in my presence, there is song. In my presence, there is praise. Step into my presence. Understand this. I came so you can have a song. I came so you can have a reason to celebrate, because you were a people in darkness, but light shone in the darkness. Amen? So this morning, we're going to worship together one more time. But I want us to do this. I want us in our own minds and hearts to say, Lord, allow me to celebrate. Allow me to worship you well. Allow that song to burst forth in my heart. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for giving us a reason to celebrate. In the midst of the chaos and the turmoil and the uncertainty of each of our lives, you have given us a reason to celebrate that surpasses all of that and mutes it all. It adds nothing to you, to the equation, because we have our reason. We have you, God, with us. So, Father, we thank you. Allow us to enter into this week leading to Christmas with joyful celebration. Allow us this morning to worship you well together with joy and singing, celebrating your name with praise. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.